0818-715-815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Well, let's go straight to Cork City and to John. John, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Joe.
You're aware of the scenes this morning when the government's forum, very, very controversial, getting more controversial by the hour, opened to great expense. I don't know whether you saw the photographs of the wonderful backdrop, the brand new sequence of armchairs that have obviously been purchased. What do you think of the people who heckled Micheál Martin?
Well, I was actually supposed to go, but there was a friend of mine got ill, so I couldn't. But I have no problem with the people heckling Micheál Martin. Micheál Martin is a big boy, no joke. He's a long time in politics now. Now, the last time we looked, we were living in a democracy. And the problem is, at the moment, the government, all the polls that have been done on migration, hate speech, neutrality, the government are completely out of step with the Irish people.
So the do you think that the hecklers should have kept on heckling?
Well, I believe what should have happened, everything should have ceased for a period of time and then allow the people on the floor, including those people, right, because they had a legitimate reason to be there, right? I mean, obviously.
Well, they wanted to stop it going ahead. They weren't there to make a speech or ask questions. They were reading. They were members of the Connolly, they described themselves as members of the Connolly Youth Movement, which is an organisation, but they described themselves as a communist organisation dedicated to the overthrow of the state. So what questions were they weren't there asking questions? Let's listen to them to see where they're asking questions. Here's one clip.
And I see this debate.
This is not a democratic forum. This is not representative of the people of Ireland.
This is not a democratic forum. That's not a question. So you say it shouldn't have been removed by the Gardaí.
No, they should not, because at the moment...
Should they still be there? The thing would be abandoned. Why don't we just abandon it anyway?
They could have stopped the meeting. Like, there's many meetings like County Council. Look at the...
No, finish your sentence. You said they should have stopped the meeting, and what?
They should stop the meeting and try and negotiate with these people. Send up a representative.
These are people, according to their constitution, who are a communist organisation. The only other communist I know at the minute is Putin. A communist organisation dedicated to the overthrow of the state. They do not believe, this is in their constitution, by the way, John, they do not believe in becoming involved in political parties. It's a Marxist-Leninist organisation based on the theory and practice of Marx-Lenin. That's fine. And Connolly, I thought Connolly was primarily a Catholic. I don't think he was a communist. The Connolly Youth Movement recognised the imperialism through its creation of international monopolies and the banking global capitalism struggle for its international... We are not a political party. We will not join a political party. We describe ourselves as a revolutionary organisation. We do not endorse any social democratic parties in Ireland, or nor does it advocate a strategy supporting their formation or advancement. The Connolly Youth Movement is a voluntary organisation of young communists dedicated to the overthrow of capitalism and the construction of a socialist, independent and United Ireland. And they then go on to say that they are based, the Connolly Youth Movement is based on the concrete organisational methods of the Bolshevik Party. This is the party that led the so-called Russian Revolution and that whole country into penury and oppression and mass murder. So, John, do you think that those people were there to ask questions? But you think they should have been allowed to stay?
Well, I think that there should be some form of compromise, because I believe in open debate and open discussion. Right?
But where was the debate?
Well, I mean, the thing is, they could have abandoned the meeting for 10, 15, 20 minutes. And then send the...
What does that mean? Everyone gets up and leaves?
There's county council meetings. I mean, you see what happens in the Dáil and Eagla basis. I mean, the county corner has to suspend the House at times there, and that's the seat of democracy in Ireland. So, I mean, I believe there should have been a cessation of negotiations and the background going on. And, I mean, look, just seeking the kind of situation.
But what compromise do you think? This is a forum. Now, I know the whole thing has been thrown up into the air, and a lot of people say, well, a lot of legitimacy by the comments of the of the president, which are echoed in some of the banners there today. Ireland must not drift into NATO and become buried in other people's generals, other people's agendas. They also said that President Higgins also said that the sessions were dominated by generals, admirals, air force, and other people like that.
And that was
one of the catch cries as well there today. So how can it proceed?
Well, the thing is, look, I mean, if the president, who's a very learned man, has a problem with what's going on at the moment, I don't see why questions can't be asked and answered, and the situation resolves in that chamber there today. Because if you remember, John Major was asked a question in the House of Commons, was there talks going on in the background with the IRA? And he said it would make him sick to the pit of his stomach to talk to the IRA. And while he was on his street show, there was talks going on with the IRA. So you have to talk to everybody. And at the moment, there is a huge suspicion as regards the people over there today, and I know the activists over there as well, and the general public out there, that we're being sleepwalked into something.
Therefore, if that's the belief, and that is a presidential belief as well, and it's a belief of the protesters today, and you, why? What's the point in proceeding? If it's coming up to 2 o'clock, the afternoon session is about to start. Okay.
Yeah,
so what you're saying is, if when the afternoon session starts at 2 o'clock, if three or four hecklers get up again and start shouting, "Down with NATO" and "Down with generals and admirals and the air force," you think they should be just allowed stay there and continue shouting that for as long as they want?
Well, again, as I said, like many meetings, I've been at county council.
This is not the county council we're talking about. This is a very expensive government forum set up, paid for by you, by the way, and it's a road show. It's a very expensive looking road show. It's in Cork today, Galway tomorrow. You can imagine the expense of moving from Strasbourg to Brussels. The cost of moving. The speakers, I'm sure, are. Now they've come in for criticism as well from the president and from the protesters today. And I see Mick Wallace is out now supporting the protesters today, saying it's a pro-NATO corporate media ready up. Edward Cummins, 51551 is our text number. Edward, should this whole process now be abandoned? I also add, Edward and John, that the professor of modern Irish history in UCD, Dermot Ferriter, thinks it should be. He thinks it should never have gone ahead, and he said he has issues with the chairperson being a dame of the British Empire, which Michael D. Higgins had, which Ivana Bacek said on this station to Gavin on Monday. She thought anyone who raised that issue had valid concerns. So, Edward Cummins, what do you think? Should it continue? Is it worthwhile continuing?
Well, Joe, I listened to your promo today and I was going to ring straight away, but I said, no, wait, I'll just listen to the 1 o'clock news. Then I listened to the 1 o'clock news and then I rang up having heard the comments of the people who were objecting to it, you know, because information is good. You know, to make the right decision, you need proper information. You need enough of it. Sometimes we don't get enough of it. So I waited and I listened to the news. I listened to the promo you did.
Okay.
And I came to the conclusion that the very thing that these people are using to protest, which is a democracy, and they're using it, and they're saying, I disagree with what you're saying, and if you don't agree with what I believe, then I'm not going to allow you to speak, and this shouldn't continue. And it's kind of ridiculous, really. I mean, I think the only way you're going to know what people are thinking is to listen to them. And then you can make a decision. And if I can.
What they're saying, but Edward, they're saying, as the president is saying, as other people are saying, that the whole thing is weighted towards a drift into NATO. The outcome is almost predetermined by the speakers, the admirals, the generals, and the Air Force, as the president referred to them as. The outcome is predetermined. So if disruption would seem to the young people there today, the members of the Connolly Youth Movement, the Forwardum, they believed the disruption was justified. And what was the banner they held up? It wasn't a banner about Vladimir Putin and his genocide in Ukraine. It was a banner, an anti-NATO banner, accusing NATO of killing hundreds of millions of people.
Yeah, well, the ironic thing is, they're employing the same. But we say these people, it's weighted, it's biased. And you're talking about people who themselves are indoctrinated in their own beliefs, you know. And fear is a terrible thing, Joe. You see what's happening up in the Baltic countries now, Scandinavian countries, where people are fear and they're all queuing up to join NATO. Because when you have a dictator...
Okay, so watch... Well, exactly, and Latvia, Lithuania are in NATO for the obvious reason that they're neighbours of Russia, unlike us. Finland looking to get into NATO because they are overshadowed by the USSR, unlike us. But Edward, back to two questions. One, what should have been done with the hecklers today?
Well, the Gardaí right? I believe they should have been extracted from... because... You know, if you go down, like, there's a, people, look, you walk down O'Connell Street, there's a statue at the end of O'Connell Street, and it's Charles Stuart Parnell, I think, yeah? And there's a very, there's a, an inscription on it that says, no nation has the right to stop the march of another nation. No one has the right to say to somebody, thus far shalt thou go and no further. And the thing about it is, everything changes.
Okay, so you're saying one, the Gardaí were right. If there's a protest at 2 o'clock today, or a protest in Galway tomorrow, or a protest in Dublin on Monday, in Dublin Castle on Monday and Tuesday, the Gardaí should just eject them.
Well, if
I
went into a meeting of these people and I stood up and I said, what you're saying is unconstitutional, it's wrong, and I'm going to stay here and I'm not going to allow you to speak, what would happen to me?
Okay.
Would they allow me to stay?
Hang on a sec, John. Second question, Edward. 51551 is the text number. Second question, Edward. Should it continue? What's the point in it continuing? It's going to be disrupted if it's already savagely undermined by a number, including our four citizens, by a number of very, very influential voices in the state, not just the TDs and the Dáil people before profit. Who were against it, and Mick Wallace and Claire Daly in the European Parliament, who say it's a ready up basically. So should it proceed? What's the outcome going to be?
It should proceed, Joe, because the only way I'm going to, like, I mean, I quote somebody now, a philosopher of many, many years ago, Marcus Aurelius, his Meditation. And he speaks about the human condition and about conflict and about war.
Okay, stay there. Dominic, you know. Dominic Carroll has contact. Dominic was one of the organisers this morning. Now, Dominic, what was your aim to get publicity when you're succeeding? Anyway, he says, you're on live, man.
As long as you don't think I was an organiser at the forum, Joe, I was an organiser with the Cork Neutrality League.
Okay, and you stood up to object, did you?
I was the first person to stand up, actually, at 9 o'clock. In the Cork Neutrality League, we said, look, we're not going to try and bring these proceedings to a halt, much as we object to them. But we had some questions, and we wanted to address points of order to the chair of the forum, Dame Louise Richardson. At 9 o'clock, when I expected her to introduce Micheál Martin, instead he was introduced by the president of UCC, which I guess opened the forum. Well, I felt that we had a point of order to be made, and so I stood to make it. And bizarrely, Micheál Martin himself pointed at me and said, there will be no point of order. Well, of course, he wasn't the chair, and so he wasn't really the person to adjudicate on that. So naturally, I persisted that there should be a point of order and that the chair should adjudicate. My point of order, of course, was that the selection of speakers at the forum was unfairly weighted towards supporters of increased militarisation. And we were just saying...
Okay, so your support...
So
in other words, you wanted to make the point that the president made in the interview last Sunday in the Sunday Business Post.
Precisely. And we were going to...
Dominic. But that point has been forcefully made by the four citizens of the country. It's been in every single radio programme, discussion programme, phone-in programme like this. People want to talk about it. So if you wanted to raise that point again this morning, I don't know where your point of order comes from, because as far as I know, there's no constitution rulings of these meetings in terms of point of order and speech from the floor or whatever. But you're saying you wanted basically to reiterate what the President of Ireland has said, and everyone in the country, unless they've been living in a molehill, everyone in the country knows what the President said, and that is stacked with pro-NATO speakers. You wanted to make that point again. Why do you think it was so important for you to make that point this morning? Does Micheál Martin not know it already?
Yeah, well, actually, we went a step further, because our point of order concluded with these words: will you now redress this imbalance in speakers to ensure a fair and balanced debate at every session of the forum? We were calling upon Dame Louise Richardson to resolve this issue, to actually readdress address the question of who was speaking at it. So, yes, it was great to reiterate the point that
you got
by the President.
Dominic, had you got it? Like, the agenda has been circulating now for, I think, and the number of the speakers I was reading in 2 weeks ago on the government website. The President made a point, which you say you wanted to make this morning as a point of order. Had you got a list of alternative speakers that we could get in a hurry?
Well, I'm sure we could come up with a list.
Have you a list of alternative speakers that would be acceptable to you that the government could get in a hurry? Or get in anyway?
No, Joe, okay. First of all, I think obviously... Hang on a second, Joe. First of all, really just being mischievous. But secondly...
Really?
Secondly...
You're the one who stood up at a meeting where he said you wanted... With this specious line about a point of order, whatever it means in that context.
Specious,
because when I looked up the website 2 weeks ago, there's no list of how the meeting should be conducted. What is the position on points of order? You're calling me specious. You're the one who stood up this morning and heckled and objected on the basis of a point that the forum, Micheál Martin, and I presume Louise Richardson. By the way, I don't know if she had anything to do with picking the speakers. Do you?
You're the one who said you want
to raise with Louise Richardson about getting other speakers. I don't know. My understanding
she has
of
authority. She has authority over the forum, and maybe this was presented to her as a fait accompli. Maybe she raised an eyebrow when she saw it, but she had authority over the forum. She is right now in a position to exert her authority and say, "Yeah, this is ridiculous. This is terribly stacked in favour of pro-NATO speakers. I'm not going to stand over this."
She should resign.
Well, okay, that would be a fantastic statement if she was to do that, but I don't think she will because she's pro-NATO herself. That, of course, is one of our main criticisms of the forum, that the government selected a person whose appointment to Dame of the British Empire by the British government was actually authorised by the Irish Cabinet just 12 months ago. So... possibly as a reward, authority over.
She was appointed. She was asked 18 months ago, whatever. I don't know the exact sequence, but I know what you're talking about. The cabinet. She was asked by the British government, was she willing, on account of her work as Vice Chancellor, first female ever, by the way, as well as being Irish, Vice Chancellor of Oxford, on account of the work of Oxford in terms of the vaccination, the rollout of the COVID vaccination and the democratisation of that vaccination that they insisted on, no making money out of it, and also her role. What's not true?
AstraZeneca changed the term. Hang on.
During the course
of the pandemic that they wouldn't charge for the AstraZeneca vaccine. And then they changed the terms. So you mention it.
Okay, now what I'm saying is that the British government, in honouring, which it was, making Louise Richardson, or asking her, would she like to become a Dame Commander of the British Empire for her work on the vaccine, regardless of what happened afterwards, and two, because of her work on encouraging disadvantage and affecting disadvantaged young people into Oxford. That'll take a long time to change, I know. The Cabinet had to ratify that, as indeed they had to ratify it for Bob Geldof or anyone else that's an Irish citizen, people that are very well regarded here.
Exactly.
And you're saying that the quid pro quo for that was that they would give Louise Richardson the chairperson of...
I didn't say that was the quid pro quo. I suggested it might have been a consideration. It's not like she's unknown to them. She's a safe pair of hands. She's a dame of the British Empire. 12 months ago, they authorised her to receive that award from that time, Queen Elizabeth II. And
not the first time they've done it. Yeah. Well, what about her? Yeah. What about her academic achievements? The number of books she's written. By the way, I've read a number of books. I know she's been involved. I sat through a number of her lectures, including one she gave in Ars Nucleus on terrorism, and there was no indication from that she supported NATO. But anyway, you believe she does. I'd love to hear chapter and verse. Dominic, I'll come back to you in a sec, I promise. Dominic, it's the sessions are starting again at 2 o'clock. Are the protesters going to try and get back in at 2 o'clock?
Pointless, Joe. We made our point this morning.
Okay.
We said it was an undemocratic sham. We were shouted down. We were removed by the guards in some cases. What's the point? We were presenting a viable alternative, which was to bring in different speakers. Should it
continue?
No, it's a sham forum. It's a waste of €200,000. You should have seen the sandwiches going in there this morning. Honestly,
tell me about the sandwiches.
A lot of hungry people. Well, you've heard that the food bill is €40,000.
Well, what was the food when you were going in this morning?
Well, I just saw croissants and cups of coffee, and then later on sandwiches, and then apparently there was lunch. I went for a bowl of chips myself in the canteen at UTC. Okay.
And was there lunch and sandwiches for everyone in the audience?
There was, yeah.
Free.
If you stayed long enough. Yeah, if you,
free.
Absolutely, yeah, free. Yeah,
okay,
yeah. Okay. But Joe, you've heard that.
Dominic, you're right, Dominic. There's no such thing as a free lunch, is there? Paul Connaughton, stay with us. 51551 text. Paul, the protesters, were the Gardaí right in removing them, or should they have been allowed, as John said earlier, they should have been allowed to stay for as long as they want and make the points they were making? Paul Connaughton, Galway.
No, Joe, I don't. I think the Gardaí were right to remove them. And let the discussion go on. And as far as I know, NATO isn't going to be even mentioned at this conference.
But do you think? Okay, just I know the whole issue of NATO and the conference, but the issue that they must be looking at today, as Dominic pointed out, there's an awful lot of money going to be spent over the next few days on this. It's already tainted, whether we like it or not, or whether people who are for or against it like it or not. It's already been tainted by criticism led by the president, followed by Ivana Bacic, who said that anything chaired by the Dame of the British Empire, people raised that issue that they had valid concerns. Then we had, for example, Professor Dermot Ferriter. Then we have the TDs and the Dáil, the number of TDs who have been totally, absolutely, completely against it from the get go. So, one, should it continue?
Yes, I think it should continue, because you'll always have some people objecting to it, and I would say the majority of.
But like
TDs,
no one could hear. Let's listen again. No one could hear what Micheál Martin was saying. His speech is gone.
Yeah, Joe, that's fine, but I think that only lasted about 15 minutes. I presume he carried on speaking when they were removed, you know, and got his point across, you know.
No, he didn't. The speech was finished. Louise Richardson started speaking, or Dame Louise Richardson, as Dominic insists on calling her.
And she was heckled down,
and she was shouted down as well.
Yeah, I think she was badly treated from the word go. You know, the things that were said about her, I think they were completely out of order. But Joe, the main point I want to make is, I'm an ex-member of the Defence Forces.
Okay.
And I can remember back when the trouble started in Northern Ireland, and Taoiseach of the day, Jack Lynch, ordered the troops to the border.
Mm-hmm.
And we were completely unprepared. It took us 2 weeks to get up there. And we eventually were brought up there by CIE buses. The roads to the border were littered with broken down transport. And it's heading back that way again, because there has been no investment in the Defence Forces for years. And the world has changed. We see what's going on in Europe. The world has changed. And I think it's high time to spend some.
What do you think? Okay. Well, to take up on your point, Paul, do you think that the this whole discussion and the way it's now been framed will damage the Defence Forces?
No, I think this discussion needs to be had, and it should have been had a long, long time ago. We're making up for lost time, you know. I think it should be had years ago. But I can't say what I want to say, but about things that were said about the army in recent times, you know. So
what was said about the army in recent times, that it should be disbanded.
Well, your researcher told me not to mention it, so I'm not going to mention it. Just said live on television, you know, so I'm not going to mention it. But the army is drifting back to the way it was back when the trouble started in Northern Ireland. And bear in mind that the Northern Ireland still exists. And I'll always remember those chilling words from Gerry Adams. They're not gone away, you know. If it wasn't for the Defence Forces and the Gardaí, there'd be somebody else running this country.
The President called attention to the composition of the panels, which included the admirals, the generals, the Air Force, the rest of it. Now, the only generals I can find, maybe I'm wrong, there are five generals speaking over the weekend. They're Irish, from Oakley na Héireann and the Irish Defence Force.
No admirals that I know of.
Okay. But given that the main activity, it seems to be, of the Irish Army. I know they were brilliant during COVID and emergencies, and lots of other things beside. And their air ambulance service from Athlone is second to none. It should be in every province in the country. But anyway, that's another issue in terms of funding. But when the President says the admirals, the generals, the only generals he could be referring to are the Irish generals. So have they not got a legitimate story to tell about peacekeeping?
I'm sure they have. And let me bring you back, Joe, to recent events in Afghanistan and Kabul when the Irish expats there had to be taken out. They sent over a group of Rangers. They had to bum a lift with the French Air Force and bum a lift back with the Finnish Air Force. Mm-hmm. Same thing happened in Sudan there recently. You know, is our government not embarrassed by this, you know? So that's
Stay there for a sec, Paul. Liam, good afternoon. Liam Doran.
Hello. Hi, Joe.
How you doing, Liam? Do you agree with the protest this morning?
Yes, I do.
And do you think they should have been removed?
Well, I suppose if they were causing disruption enough, maybe, you know, I can see why the Gardaí thought they should have been removed. But
is this disruption enough? Listen to what happened.
And I see this debate.
This is not a democratic forum. This is not representative of the people of Ireland.
Okay, does that justify being asked to leave, Liam?
Well,
they were removed by the Gardaí. Were the Gardaí correct?
Well, they didn't breach the Public Order Act, so I don't know. Should they have been removed? Mm-hmm. You know, it's a difficult question. You know, were they doing something? You know, it's a forum for the whole of Ireland, so anyone can really go into these, you know, forums, whether it be in UCC or wherever.
What gives those three people the right to disrupt it on behalf of the whole of Ireland?
Because we're being fed propaganda by the government that we need to join NATO and all this because there's a war in Ukraine.
The Taoiseach yesterday said joining NATO is just not on the agenda, full stop. You don't believe him. Well, obviously you don't believe him.
Well, they've already joined PESCO, and we weren't supposed to join PESCO because that's termed our neutrality. And, you know, PESCO is just a prerequisite towards an EU army.
Many Irish soldiers are in Ukraine at the minute.
I have no idea.
How many Irish soldiers are wearing the NATO emblem?
None that I know of.
How many Irish soldiers are wearing the UN, the blue beret of the UN? They're the only ones I know wearing anything apart from the green beret of the Oleg Naharan. Do you think the forum should... Do you think it can continue, Liam, given the criticism?
No, I think it should be completely abandoned.
Okay, why?
Because we need to just remain neutral, and if the government are going to have a forum, why aren't they having a citizens' assembly? Even though I disagree with citizens' assemblies, but surely the government.
Okay, now hang on. Just stick with your point. I don't want that list of everything you disagree with. Do you agree with what the President said? Ireland must not drift into NATO and become buried in other people's agendas. The agenda is made up of admirals, the panels are made up of admirals, generals, the Air Force, and the rest of it. and the formerly neutral countries, which are Latvia and Lithuania, which are, and Finland, who are joining NATO. Funnily enough, the reason they're joining NATO is that they're about to be invaded, so they're looking for help. But anyway, do you agree what the President said, Liam?
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, there's a bias there in the forum. There's generals on it.
Well, there are five. You know, hang on. Don't just brush the word general as if you're talking about Pinochet or somebody, or Castro.
They are called generals.
Yeah, well, they're not called generals. They were generals in the Irish Army. Three of them now retired. All five of them saw service with the UN peacekeeping missions. Should we not be hearing from them?
Well, I don't think the public have been completely informed on the total composition of this forum. If there's five generals, who else is there?
It's all on the website. There's sociologists, there's academics, there's people from Chatham House. No matter, there's people who I know people will disagree with. Maybe there's people who people will disagree with. Who do you think should be on it then? Who do you think should be speaking, Liam? Because I asked Dominic the same question. He wants the panel changed forthwith for the next 3 days. We hadn't an idea.
I think it should be abandoned anyway.
Okay.
I think the forum should be abandoned.
Okay. And are you involved with the Connolly Youth Movement?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Liam Doran, thanks indeed. Back after this break, Joe at RTE.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Talking about the protests at the beginning of the first 4 days of this government forum on neutrality, so to speak. The party has been subject of a lot of criticism. A lot of organisations gone into it, by the way. You can look up the 4 day agenda. Now, as I said, on Monday, the Taoiseach, I think, is going to be speaking twice. The Taoiseach is going to be speaking once. The leader of the Green Party is going to be addressing it. And there's no space for the President of Ireland to even make his opening address. But anyway, he's made his thoughts clear on it. Brian Gould, Brian, good afternoon. What do you think of the protests this morning?
I agree with them.
Okay.
I mean, it would be better if the whole thing was abandoned completely.
Why?
And if we are going to, because it's not an open forum. It's specialists are in there. I was reading something on the government website, and it said that if you want to get on, that you should have specialist knowledge. What's more specialist knowledge about not making war? You know what I mean? It's and the people who are generally speaking at these things are pro military alliance, whether it's NATO or PESCO or other organisations that are out there. They're all kind of in favour of it. And do we need Ireland to become part of the NATO organisation?
I can name one of the speakers. I haven't got it open here in front of me. I name one of the speakers, Roger Cole. Roger is a long-standing, very principled activist over the last four decades. He's speaking at it. He's totally anti-NATO. He's a member of PANA, the peace organisation. So, like, have you even looked up who's speaking at it? Are you just going on the stuff that's been churned out that it's pro-NATO?
Well, more or less, I mean, I haven't seen a full list of all the people who are at it, but some of the people of the names
would be pro-NATO.
But I mean, I would think that the whole thing should be abandoned.
Okay.
And if the protest today does anything, and I guess this forum abandoned, it would be a good day's work. Because people aren't out to protest, and they have a legitimate argument as far as I'm concerned. They're against wars, and they're for Ireland's neutrality. So if they get this forum abandoned, it will be a good day's work, and they will have done something good for the country.
And if Ireland, and please don't laugh at this, but given that we are effectively in on the cusp of a third world war, with nuclear weapons gone into Belarus, etc. If Russia was to attack Western Europe, including Ireland, do you think we should then ask NATO to help us? We don't have a fighter jet between us. Do you think we should ask NATO to support us or help us if Russia was banging missiles off left, right, and centre into Western Europe?
Well, if somebody sets off nuclear weapons, Joe,
I know there'll be none of us.
So you envisage
no circumstances where we can call on or ask our people in Western countries. We're already one of the staunchest members, if not the staunchest member, of the European Union in terms of opinion polls and votes. You think there's no circumstance, no matter how the country was being battered or whatever, or the threat to the country, there's no circumstance where we should say, call on America to help us? Can we call on America to help us, Brian?
Sure, we went through two world wars. World War One.
No, we didn't. Yeah, we didn't. We didn't.
Were neutral. We were neutral in those wars. There was war happening on Europe and the mainland of Europe.
Historically, in World War One, we weren't neutral because we weren't a state. We were part of the British Empire and they were not neutral. And 50,000 Irishmen, heroes all, died in World War One in the fight against Germany. In the Second World War, we were... not neutral. We were neutral. It was called part of the, we called it the emergency here. But we were neutral in favour of the Allies, including the Americans. When any American pilot that was downed, and be it Sandyman Strand or any part of Ireland, was immediately sent back over the border into UK. So you think the whole thing should be abandoned? Dominic?
The whole thing should be abandoned. Yeah, okay. Yes. And it would be a good day's work. I mean, the protesters are entitled to protest, and they shouldn't have been thrown out of the
So they should have just kept going. Should have just kept heckling. For how long?
Yeah.
Until their voices broke, is it?
A protest is no good unless you can get something. It has to be a positive outcome to it.
And what was but there wasn't a positive outcome.
The positive outcome would be like that the forum would be abandoned.
Okay, Helen is listening. Helen, the forum being abandoned by those hecklers this morning would have been a positive outcome.
No, it's outrageous.
And Dominic as well agrees with that.
Yeah, no, Dominic is completely wrong about what he's saying. He's...
Okay, your line is going there. Unfortunately. Dominic, Helen...
She's about to say something about me.
Yes, she disagrees with you. She thinks you're completely wrong.
Yeah. Grand, yeah. And the question is, Joe, what?
I presume the question is, she's saying you're anti. I'm reading her text in here before the call dropped there. She's saying you're anti, effectively inter alia, you're anti-democratic by not allowing that discussion to continue, or not hoping that it wouldn't continue. And now you're calling for the forum to be abandoned. What's wrong with open discussion?
Yeah, OK, so without getting caught up in a discussion about bureaucratic procedures, I assumed that the chair of the forum would actually take control of the forum.
OK, Dominic, Helen is back. Yeah, Helen, continue to make your point to Dominic.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Helen.
Dominic, all you did was the heckler's veto. You know that as well as I do. That's not free speech, it's not free expression, it's not debate. You know, shutting down other people's speech... That's nothing. It just shows what a bully you are. You can't allow people to speak. You know, you allow them to speak. This is the way it works.
In fairness, Helen, I don't think the word bully could apply to Dominic based on what he did.
In fairness, he said
he stood up to what he said was to raise a point of order. But anyway, continue, Helen.
Yeah, well, when you're shouting people down so that others can't hear them, that's bullying behaviour, in my opinion. So, you know, all he had to do was allow them to speak, then make his points, whatever points he wanted to make. And, you know, that's the way debate is supposed to be. It's not supposed to be where you won't allow the audience or whoever's there listen to what's being said. If he wanted to demonstrate or protest, they could have held up signs and said nothing. They could have been outside and said nothing and held up signs. They could have had their own meeting afterwards. Nothing was stopping them doing any of that.
Did you protest?
They certainly didn't have to shut down a meeting over that. And by the way, I would have more confidence in the audience than I would in somebody trying to stop me, you know, from hearing something.
And Dominic, did the audience try and shout you down?
No, because I recognise quite a lot of people in the audience who were sympathetic to our position.
So they would have applied for tickets. It's a bit like the papal mass was 4 years ago in the Phoenix Park, where there was outwardly they announced on this programme that people who disagreed with the Catholic Church were going to imply en masse, pardon the pun, en masse for tickets to the Phoenix Park, and which turned out they succeeded, because the Phoenix Park on that Sunday was, to say the least, a damp squib. So you're saying people deliberately applied for tickets knowing that they were going to object?
No, I think people applied for tickets in the forlorn hope that in this they could make a last-ditch effort in defence of neutrality. Actually, the Court Neutrality League, we decided it's a waste of time, but we'd go to the forum at any rate, we'd get our tickets, and we'd ask for the forum to be modified and obviously
Does the Cork Neutrality League, given the real politic world which we live in on the cusp of World War III, do the Cork Neutrality League believe that we might have to turn to NATO for help, or the American or the United States of America for military help in any circumstances?
No, because Joe, you made a point a few minutes ago, and the circumstance or the scenario that you describe was Russian missiles flying into Ireland.
Hang on, Joe.
Let me make the point. It is really important, and it actually answers your question. If missiles emanate from Russia, they'll be nuclear, and at that point, there'll be total destruction, because both armies, both blocs, the Western bloc led by America and now Russia and China, they both believe in first strike. They do not hang around to see what the response is. They fire everything they've got. And, of course, there will be an immediate response from the West.
The
country will not be phoning NATO to say, well, what should we do?
There might be. I'll tell you why. Because when Russia invaded Ukraine, you agree that Russia invaded Ukraine, do you?
Absolutely, and I'm totally opposed to the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Can I make that clear?
They didn't support the right
of Ukraine to defend itself.
Right, okay. They didn't use nuclear weapons.
Yes.
Sure they didn't. They threatened to use nuclear weapons.
They have threatened to use nuclear weapons, Joe. That's an open threat.
Haven't. But you're saying there are no circumstances that we would call on another army, i.e. that would be of a Western disposition, in other words, a democracy. I know we get into an argument, but a democracy. We agree that Russia isn't a democracy, don't we?
We do.
Yeah, okay. That's not a democracy. That we would call on the RAF or the US Air Force or whatever based in Germany, if there was a threat, if there was two hijacked planes coming to, let's say they were, God forbid, they were hijacked with the intention of getting to Westminster House of Parliament in London or a populated venue, and then they discovered they didn't have enough fuel and the pilots were told, well, I want you to ditch it in the centre of Dublin or any other big venue that would get them the publicity they deserve. Do you believe we should call on a NATO F-16 to get up and shoot down those planes and try and divert them? Because we can't do it.
Yeah, that's kind of an absurdity, so it's not really worth taking too seriously.
You said it's an absurdity. That's fine. Go ahead, Helen.
Dominic, you seem to be so well informed about this subject, and my question to you is, why didn't you organise your own event? I mean, you could
because we don't have €200,000.
Look, you can be at any public place.
We held four people's forums on Monday and Tuesday. We held another one's been held tonight in Galway, and there was one held in Limerick. We actually held our forums in four cities.
Was anybody shouting you down?
I don't know what happened in Dublin and Limerick, but I can tell you in Cork, nobody shouted us down.
I've seen the list of the speakers at your forums, as you call them, Dominic. Mm-hmm. They're all anti-NATO and pro. It's not a debate. It's not a forum. They all hold the same view as you do.
Yes,
don't
absolutely.
They? Isn't that correct?
Those speakers do.
So don't call it a forum.
It's not a debate. Anybody who came to the Anybody who came to the forum and took an opposing view to what was being proposed by most of the speakers would be given respectful opportunity to make their point.
I saw the list. Was there any speaker on the platform of your forums that presented a pro-NATO scenario, for argument's sake?
Well, from their point of view, the people who are
be honest and answer the question.
Yeah,
I'm trying to call up the poster here. My memory of it looking at it last night is.
You're
perfectly entitled to do this, but at least be honest about it.
The forum
that you organised, okay, you're giving out about the government forum, even though there are people from the other side on the platform, whether you like it or not. Not enough, says you. Not enough, says me, Michael D. Higgins. Adrift towards NATO, says you. Adrift towards NATO, says Michael D. Higgins. But in your forum that you've set up in the forward places, isn't it correct to say that every speaker from the stage, don't care who gets up or is allowed in from the floor, but every speaker from the stage is anti-NATO?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. Helen, make your point.
That's what I mean, is that he said that if there had been somebody there, they would have been given a respectful hearing. That's exactly what he did not do. He did not give the people, the audience there, the people who got tickets there, the courtesy to hear what was being said. He could have had a big rally, a big meeting anywhere outside, anywhere in the city, anywhere at all. But he didn't do that. He decided what to do was to shut other people down. You don't have to agree with what's being said, but you allow the speaker to say it, and then you make up your own mind what you want to do.
But in fairness to Dominic, Helen, Dominic, when he made his point or wasn't able to make his point, he did leave. You left of your own accord, did you, Dominic?
I did, yeah, okay. It was pointless.
In fairness, I know other people didn't, but Dominic did. And Dominic is also saying, as far as he's concerned, that's the end of that type of protest in the body of the hall, as the fella said.
Well, that's good to hear, because I don't think we have nearly enough debate here about anything. And okay. This is one of the reasons why, is when you get shut down in this sort of way. I heard Micheál Martin this morning on the news, and I couldn't really understand what he was saying because there was people yelling and shouting
But you could also argue, Helen, that Micheál Martin and Leo Varadkar and Pascal Donoghue and Stephen Donnelly and Eamon Ryan, they are never off the radio and television. I don't know how how they get time to do any work. And some of them even manage the wonderful trick of by location. They're on News Talk and Morning Ireland at the same time.
It's not as if
they need a platform. They've plenty of platforms. But anyway, Helen and Dominic, how come your accents are so similar?
This old one. My parents are from Cork. I'm Irish. I mean, really, the number of times that this is kind of almost raised an objection.
It's not an objection, Dominic.
But it's one of those boring questions. Why have you got an English accent, by? Well, you know, my parents emigrated. Do you remember?
I just think it's wonderful that we've two callers.
Good hell, but I tell you, I lived here for 40 years.
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant.
And
many more years of good health, Dominic, as well. And Helen,
I thought we'd slightly be on that now, asking people, where are you from and what's your accent and so on and so forth.
Dominic, I thought we were beyond you trying to distort what I'm saying. I didn't say where you were from.
It's kind of a hackneyed question.
It wasn't a hackneyed question. I said I'm very struck by the two callers we have at the minute have similar accents. That's all.
Pure coincidence.
Interesting part. Okay, Helen and Dominic, go to Milamaka, Joe at rt.ie, 51551 is their text number.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Christina Madden, what have you spotted in terms of school books?
Oh, hi Joe, how are you?
Good.
A couple of my daughters finished secondary school. And so I saved their books, obviously, because over the course of their secondary life, the books accumulated. So then I phoned one of the bookshops and I just said, look, I've got these books. Maybe you can use them the second hand. You know, some people like don't like to pay the full price. Mm-hmm. And they said, yes, great. Bring them in at the start of when the book lists come out.
Okay.
So, and I have a son going into leaving cert. So I went down. I had probably over the course of over the 6 years the kids were in secondary school, I had probably about 70 books. So that's including a lot of novels, which are, you know, normal novels. And I went down to the bookshop and they were able to give me a credit note for 3 books. So I looked at my... So I thought, what do you do with... I wanted to pass them on to neighbours' kids or I wanted to pass them on to friends or whatever. And they said, no, this is a new edition. There's a new edition of this. There's a new edition.
Okay.
And then some of these books are brand new.
Just to be clear, is it a new curriculum?
No, there's not. Both the curriculum. I'm a teacher, so most of the curriculums don't change that much.
Okay. So what is the difference between this new edition and the old edition, which is in perfectly good nick?
Probably an extra. Say for example, geography book. Maybe an extra map in it. Maybe different questions. But the curriculum, the education curriculum doesn't change that much, but there's more. There seems to be more of a frequency of new books, new editions.
So what's your thesis, Christine? Your thesis is that they're deliberately adding in a map or two of no great relevance to change the pagination of the book so that everyone in the class will have to have the same edition of the book, i.e. the new edition. So when teacher says, turn to page 96... If some people had the old edition, that might be page 87, but in the new edition, it's 96 for everybody. Is that your point?
Yeah, that's right. And you can teach, with the school that I've taught. I do sub teaching, and the school that I've taught at, the same content is in it, as you say, is in a different page. So this kids still do okay. It's just that these particular children have decided that their parents couldn't afford a new book, so they're sticking with the old edition. But I'm not just talking about the textbooks. I'm also talking about novels like To Kill a Mockingbird, Of Mice and Men, all the classics, the English classics. The bookshop couldn't take them, and I said, why not? And I won't mention the bookshop. I said, why not? We've got new ones in. I said, but what about the people who would like to buy second-hand ones, you know, who can't afford
them? Hang on,
has
Harper Lee rewritten To Kill a Mockingbird?
No, not at all.
So
I have 2 editions of it.
How come... Well, what's the difference in the editions?
No. When I'm talking about editions, that's to do with textbooks. This is the novels that I had as well to give to the bookshops. Do you understand?
Yeah. But
so what I'm saying is that every year there's parents are spending money on
new books,
on buying lots of new books, and can't get rid of the old books. Where else do you take them except to landfill?
Okay.
I mean, they're teaching sustainability, environment, conservation, etc.
What they're doing is they're paying for old books and new covers, maybe a different,
exactly.
Shane Scanlon. Shane, good afternoon. Joe at RT.ie. Shane, many books, many redundant books do you now have?
I have 50 redundant books that I can't pass on, Joe, unfortunately. I'm a father of twins. They've just finished the junior cert.
Okay.
And around the corner, we've a neighbour who has twin girls.
Great.
And they're starting the junior cert going into first year. So they called round yesterday to go through the books that's on their list. And from all the books that was there, the sum total of 2 books, one in maths, one in religion, were being continued. So I have a total of 50 books in other subjects because they're being updated, supposedly, with new editions that she can't take, unfortunately.
And Shane, do we know how different... In terms of content, not pagination. I know you're editor of the Sunday Indo, so you know all about pagination. But do you know if the content is different, Shane?
To me, the content is not much different from what I saw. I don't know the new editions.
Yeah, okay.
But a teacher, I've asked teachers in the past, why does this repeatedly happening? And they can't give me a coherent answer. You know, it's the same junior cert cycle, basically, and it's just a different year. Now, there will be tweaks and updates, mm-hmm. but for that amount of books to be made redundant,
yeah.
it seems to me ridiculous. And, you know, apart from not being able to pass on, you do have a whole environmental question
yeah,
as
good
well.
Point, good
you know,
point, yeah.
Because they're going to be recycled, and that's it. You know, but we're being told there is no use to these 50 books.
Oh God, and I'm just, I know you've sent us in, Shane, fair play. You'd know you were a journalist in the best sense of the word, because you've sent us in a photograph where you've stacked all these books. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
For the photograph.
Yes.
And
yeah.
they're the height of a small child. And those books are now redundant.
They're of no use to anyone. That's what we're being told. We can't make them available to second-hand. They can't be passed down the line because we're being told, and our neighbours being told, no, they need the second edition or third edition or whatever edition is on the list.
Okay, now I know in terms of primary school, I know there's going to be €96 per child, but the last major primary, this is from the National Council for Curriculum Assessment, but we should be asking about second level changes there, but they're addressing primary level. The last major curriculum change at primary level was 1999.
Right. Yeah.
A new primary. The pupils that were doing, the students that were doing the primary level curriculum in 1999, some of them could be teaching it now. It's so long in existence. But anyway, a new primary curriculum will be introduced in 2025. At post-primary, there's been no major curriculum change since 2018. When the phase five subjects are redeveloped, so this and but Shane, all your books are your redundant books are from the recent past.
Yeah, from the current cycle, which is just completed, and the other two girls are starting theirs, and two books, one in maths and one in religion, were the only books that they could take because they'd be told every other book has a new edition or has been updated.
Okay. Now, I can also say, Shane, if you were to stand, I don't know what height you are, presumed normal like the rest of us, if you were to stand in front of me and I was to start stacking all these books into your opened arms, I would get up over your head. Isn't that true with the books, if I got that far, because it'd be so heavy? The redundant books.
Yeah, but it's the weight of them as well.
I know what I'm... And... There must be over €1,000 worth of books there, is there?
I would say conservatively there is $750 anyway.
$750
worth of books there.
For the landfill.
For the bin, unfortunately.
And in all in good nick too as well. You should be very proud. Are they boys or girls, the twins?
I have two boys.
Yeah, you should be very proud of your boys. Tell them they kept those books in very good nick.
Yeah, some would say they never opened them, but I won't go into that.
They were too busy reading the sports page on Sunday in there with Joe Brody and the wonderful Paul Kimmage and Eamon Delaney.
It's actually the Irish, the Daily.
Another great paper as well. Okay, Shane, thanks indeed. Okay, Christina, go to Milam Hoggett, Joe at RTE.ie, 5144. You can look at that photograph on Twitter at Joe Liveline or at RTE Liveline. Thank you both, Joe at RTE.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Violet Connaughton Elliott. Violet, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you, Joe?
Are you in Ballyferm or are you making your way out to Talla?
Oh, well, I made my way from Ballyferm, and I'm actually minding two of my grandchildren at the minute.
Okay, are you going to the Ireland game?
Oh, yes, I am, yeah.
Great, great. Tonight, it's a warm-up for before we head off for the World Cup. You want to make a point. Go ahead, make the point, please, Violet.
Yeah, the point is that for all the girls that started it in 1973, that we want all the girls that had to put out their flags and their banners and to enjoy the game and to know that the girls are playing tonight. And it would really be great to support them all by putting more banners out in their gardens and them hearing the song called Tell It to Australia and getting along and being happy that we're getting there.
What's the song called?
Tell It to Australia.
We got that here. Tell It, is that the anthem of our team?
That's what was on, yep. It was actually on a YouTube. And because it's got, well, it goes like this. I sing it a little bit.
Yeah, do Violet, please. Yeah.
We are the Fighting Irish.
Yeah.
We are women loud and proud. Yeah. We're part of Ira's army and we're singing loud and proud. I got that wrong. We are the Fighting Irish. We will never be put down. We're part of Ira's army and we're women loud and proud.
You see, I think...
That's one small part, but nobody knows about it.
Yeah, I think by you saying that, by you singing even that line, a lot of people being surprised of it, I think that makes your point in spades.
It does indeed, yeah, exactly. But that, I mean, the other way, I'm just thinking back as regards when I remember 1990 and we painted all the curbs of the paths and we put our flags out.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
I'd want to be able to do all that. On every street.
And what road are you on in Ballier?
Landon Road.
You're on Landon Road, a long road.
Okay. A long road, yeah.
Yeah, and are you the only one on Landon Road with the bunting out?
At the minute, as regards for the game and for the Irish girls tonight, yes. I haven't seen any others out yet.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to see more out.
What you say the name of the song is? From Tala to...
Tala to Australia.
Oh, yeah. Oh, here it is.
That's it. There it is.
Here it is. Yep.
That's it.
Sing along, Violet.
Oh, yeah. I don't know all the words there,
okay,
Joe.
Okay.
We are. Okay, not there yet. Join in.
Good song.
We are the Fighting Irish. You'll never be put down. We're part of Ira's army and we're singing loud and proud. We are the Fighting Irish. We will never be put down. We're part of Ira's army. We're women loud and proud.
They flew across to Finland to secure 3 points with Connolly's free kick putting us in front. With Brosnan on her toes, diving left and right. The game was not over, we responded instantly. With O'Sullivan's header giving us the victory.
We are the Fighting Irish, we will never be put down. We're part of Ira's army, loud and proud. We are the Fighting Irish, we will never be put down. We're part of Ira's army, I'm singing loud and proud.
The girls in green came crashing down to earth, going 1-0 down. At home it kinda hurt. Thankfully McKay pulled one back. It kept us in the game and it brought the spirits back. Georgia was up next, a must win game, and Ireland hit a record 11 goals to their name. Tala was a fire and the fans were singing loud, singing we want more. You could hear us from the clouds.
We are the Fighting Irish. We will put down. You see what I mean?
Army,
women,
love,
and
proud. It's a very good song.
We are the Irish, we will never be put down. We're part of the very army, women, loud and proud.
And Violet, who wrote that song? Who wrote it, Violet? Do you know who wrote the song?
I can't remember. I do remember. I just can't remember the
Okay, well, she's here. She's on the other line, believe it or not, now.
Oh,
come
brilliant.
On, second.
Okay.
Katie Milady.
That's it,
Katie Milady.
Milady, how are you?
Hi, Katie Milady, how are you?
All good. How are you?
When did you write the song, Katie?
So I wrote it in May.
And what inspired you?
Just obviously the girls heading to the World Cup, first time ever, like, you know, it's history making, so I have to do something.
And are you a songwriter, Katie?
Yes, I am, yeah.
Brilliant. And the chorus is, "We are the Fighting Irish."
Fighting Irish, yeah. We'll never be put down.
Yeah.
We're a part of your army, and we'll sing it loud and proud.
Well done. And who's that singing?
It's myself.
That's yourself, but there's a male voice in there as well.
Yeah, my brother.
Ah, now give him.
My brother is doing backing vocals as well.
Brilliant. And what's his name, Katie?
His name is Matthew Milady.
So Matty and Katie.
Yeah, yep. That's us.
Okay, and do you sing together normally, as the fella said, or abnormally?
Matthew does percussion, so he plays the cajon and the drums, and he's in a band himself.
Wow.
So he helps me out when I'm gigging.
And where are you based, Katie?
I'm from Navan.
Navan, okay. And have you any other songs that have been released or even escaped?
Yeah, I have another song there that I done a couple of years ago. It's called Where I'm Made to Be.
Okay. And Katie, where can people is the single available to buy, or is it just on YouTube?
It's all over social media, so it's on YouTube. Okay. There's actually a music video out as well, and it's based in Palace Stadium.
So you just want people to circulate as much as possible. And are you into the soccer, Katie?
Yeah, we're actually heading to Australia for 6 weeks for the World Cup.
Brilliant, brilliant.
When are you heading out there, Katie?
On the 16th of July.
All right, I'm going out the day after you on the 16th.
Oh, brilliant.
Okay. So we'll be hearing each other out there.
Trying to work out, Katie, what time, and Violet, what time will it be? Well, Australia, 8 or 9 hours ahead of us.
That's right, yeah.
So the matches might fall well for our Liveline. Katie, we're taking your phone number, okay? You might be our correspondent.
Yeah, that's perfect. I'd be happy to do it.
Okay. That's Katie. Katie Milady has just been appointed Liveline correspondent for our biggest sporting event this year, biggest sporting participation, and probably one of the most positive and optimistic in terms of chances. And that is Vera and the team in Australia. They're in Tata Stadium tonight, and for the friendly with Zambia. Last game before they head off, so as much support as possible.
Their last game is the 6th of July, they're playing France there as well.
Brilliant, even better, France, brilliant. Okay, anyway, let's get behind the team. Okay, have you Katie, who has the tattoos? Is it you, Violet, or Katie?
No, it's not me.
Katie.
I don't have any of them, sorry.
Katie, well, now Violet, you're going out to Australia.
Yep.
You're
I'll be getting some paint. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of people out there doing face painting and
Face painting,
I'll
yeah.
I'll be getting some on them.
Did you, Katie, did you get a tattoo?
Yeah, myself and my girlfriend got a tattoo in Glasgow when they qualified.
Brilliant.
and they sold a camper van.
You sold your camper van.
They sold a camper van.
We needed to get money.
Oh, that's mad. Fair play to you.
I was reading that story, Kate. Well done, Katie.
God, you're dedicated. Well done. Download that song, Katie Milady and Matty Milady. And it's called We Are the Fighting Irish?
From Tala to Australia.
From Tala to Australia. Great stuff. Okay. Yeah. Safe travelling. We'll keep in touch.
Thanks very
Violet,
much.
Thanks indeed.
Come on, the girls in green. See you then. Anyway. Bye.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
You know, it's Pride Month, so you will have seen proudly displayed all over the country, from buses to Garda cars to government departments to organisations like the Irish Cancer Society, the different companies. Every single one of them are proudly displaying the Pride colours for the month that's in it. Noel Strange is in 3S Press, a printing shop in Roscommon. Noel, what happened?
Hi, Joe. Yeah, well, we were shocked this morning, just like you say there, for the month of June, we were flying on the front row there, on the facade of the building. We were flying the Pride flag right from the 1st of June. And we came over to work this morning only to see it still flying, but it was completely defaced and vandalised. It had been taken down and some very disgraceful lettering put up on it. Which was really shameful and very, very disturbing for myself and for the rest of the staff
so,
here.
So some fool broke into your premises, climbed up the pole or got up the pole, took down the flag, the pride flag, and spent some time...
We're on the Athlone Road, and it was out on the road. It was in our property. We have two flagpoles, the national flag.
But someone went, hang on, someone got up, took down the flag, wrote on the flag whatever nonsense and sicko stuff they wrote, and bothered to put the flag back up.
That's it, and I emailed the photograph, I don't know if you saw it. I think that was the most disturbing.
No, I didn't see the photograph.
The flag was seen flying. The flag, which were flying with justified pride, we're a socially inclusive printing work, and we employ a lot of people with ID, and we're very aware
like everyone in the country at this stage,
absolutely,
we hope.
Absolutely, and it's wonderful. But I'm looking at the flag in front of me now, Joe, and it's still kind of very disturbing to see it, because it wasn't just some idiot, you know, with a can of spray paint who took it down and just sprayed all over it. Somebody put some thought into it, because if you're aware of the pride flag, it's leered in different colours.
Yeah, of course, it's a lovely flag.
Parallel lines, absolutely, and it's lovely when it's flying. Well, this flag was defaced in a way like there are four individual lines of type, and they were spaced to suit or to fill a flag. It's stencil lettering.
Well, tell them they were. Tell them.
Sprayed on it.
Yeah, well, bad cess to them, and they're wasting their time. Get a new flag up ASAP, and fly it proudly, Noel. Good to meet them all. Good. Back tomorrow, 1:45. Annette Egan, producer. Ray Darcy's next.
0818 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.